You're good. The hymn that we are now going to sing speaks about our creative Heavenly Father. But as we sing it, you might also want to think about your mother, because your mother fits into this hymn so well. Our creative mother, our Heavenly Father. Let us stand, sing verses 1 and 2. I was there to hear your morning cry. Stopping it right there, and you be seated. And Glow, I want you to come up here. Come up, Glow. Can you turn that little girl around? A little bit. Let's sing verse 1 again. Heavenly Father, may the words of my mouth and may the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Dear Mom, it's been a long time since I last wrote you a letter. Like about 9 years ago, when I surprised you with a letter that I wrote while I was serving as an interim pastor. And of all places, Petersburg, Alaska, saying in that letter that this is probably going to be the last letter I write you. My last hurrah as a pastor. Well, you're not going to believe this, Mom. I thought that was the end of it. My time as a pastor, but nope. Not so. Surprisingly, I can hardly believe it, I'm back in the same place. What do you think of that, Mom? They let me come back for round two, for a second time at bat. And I even find myself sometimes saying, they let me come home. It's been a little different this time, though. The years been piling up since then. They just keep coming and going, the years. So that now I'm just a couple of months away from being 80 years old. And I ain't what I used to be. A bit slower. However, guess I've got the good Overson and Salmonson genes. So far, so good, as they say, mostly. As one woman in my church told me about her parents, she happens to be sitting right here playing the piano this morning, I, like her, chose wisely my parents. Well, the first thing I want to tell you, Mom, about this place, Petersburg, is that you'd be just about one of the best fishermen who ever walked the planks to Blind Slough, or cranked 2 pounds of lead from depths of 30 fathoms at Portage, or Eye Opener, or Snow Pass. You'd fit right in here. You'd love it here. And I think they'd probably love you too. So, Mom, this letter for sure will be the last one from me, from Petersburg. Because my time is growing short here. The church is interviewing pastors. And no doubt there's a good one out there just waiting to come. At which point, Mary Ann and I are history. They've already got my picture hanging on the wall with the pastors. That's the way it goes. For interims, short stays, and then they move on. Making room for the new guy, if it's a guy, could be a gal. You never know these days. Not the way it used to be, Mom. I've got to, however, just keep remembering. We didn't come here to stay. We came here a second time to give them space and time to find a good one and to then get out of the way. I remember when you and Dad decided to get out of the way. When Daddy was 65 and you were 61, and you both decided that enough was enough. The cows and the hogs and the chickens that had kept you on the farm 24/7, 365. You never took vacations. You didn't even know what that word meant until you decided one day that enough was enough. And I'm beginning to think along those lines too, that enough is enough. What should you think about that, Mom? Agree? Tell me that you do. I'm guessing, had I stayed on the farm, like you and Dad had hoped that I would, I'd probably still be planting corn and soybeans. Because when you love what you're doing, why not keep doing it? If you're halfway able to keep doing it. But I'm going to back away from that one. I better not go any farther with that, as this letter might get leaked. That's a frequently used word, you know, these days. And I'd rather avoid any discussion about whether I'm able. So anyway, this is Mother's Day. What a day. Falling on the fifth Sunday of what? Easter. He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
He is risen.
He is
risen indeed. On this fifth Sunday of Easter, I find myself violating my homiletic professor's firm instructions. Happened to be Mary Ann's father-in-law, Dr. Halverson. She married my professor's son. You see, Mother's Day isn't listed in the lectionary of our church. It's not a part of the Christian church year, Mother's Day. And Halverson said that sermons targeting mothers should be avoided. How about that, Mom? What do you think? Agree? Don't touch them, Dr. Halverson said. Sentimental remembrances can be dealt with in other ways, in other places, at other times. Don't do it from the pulpit. Don't get sappy, syrupy, schmaltzy, or sloppy in the pulpit, he'd say. Well, maybe not using all of those words, but some of them. And so I thought, even struggled with it, debated with myself, maybe I should just have Gladys put a little something in the bulletin, something short and nice, maybe even something schmaltzy, if she chooses, about mothers. Gladys could do that nicely. I know she could. Maybe I should just let another Mother's Day pass, not say much, if anything, about it. Just let it be. And then Gladys laid the bulletin insert on my desk. Oh, you've already seen it. You've looked at it. She put that in without me even asking her to do it. So the debate went on with Professor Halverson. And I won. A somewhat mellowed and softened, enough is enough, Pastor. I am letting that part of me prevail, which hopefully will hold over to Father's Day, if I'm still around. And for one last time, throw our precious church year lectionary under the bus. my last chance to do so. So, Mom, let me tell you some stuff I've been wanting to tell you for a long time. For 9 years since I last wrote to you, I want to take you for a few minutes with me to Mary Ann's and my home, the retirement home which we built in Olympia, Washington. You'd see Grandma Salmonson's 125-year-old overstuffed rocking chair in our great room. That's a favorite of every visitor to our place. Young or old, most everyone goes for it. Still upholstered in its original fabric. Fabric they don't make anymore. Fabric you can't buy at the store. If only that rocking chair could talk. And close beside it, Grandma's antique, gone with the wind lamp, you know, the one with two bubbles, which both your daughters wanted, but to which I fell heir, with instructions that it should stay with whomever carries the Salmonson's name into the future. It's a Salmonson lamp. And so, eventually, our son Eric will receive it. And after that, his son Stellan. Our name and our lamp has been preserved for at least two future generations. Another favorite of ours, of Mary Ann and mine, which you'd see, comes from my other grandma, your mother, Grandma Overson, her side chair, one of six of a set, one of which was given to each of her sisters, six girls in that family. Another antique, another heirloom, that chair holding many memories, upholstered in a deep red, or not red, but deep wine-colored mohair with beautiful walnut carving on its back. One of your treasures, because it was your mother's, and now one of mine, because it's my mother's. If only it could talk. And then there's that squeaky oak rocking chair you rocked me in, and my two sisters, and which Elmer Johnson, in one of my churches way back, said, "I'm going to fix that squeak. I'm going to take the squeak out of that chair," which he did, while his wife Ruth was making homemade donuts for my two preschool kids, who called them Grandma and Grandpa Johnson. You'd also love seeing my collection of fishing paraphernalia, especially Daddy's old fishing reels, some Lazy Ikes made in Fort Dodge, Iowa, proven walleye lures, and his Big Ben pocket watch with a shoestring on it, which was into the loop of his bib overalls and then into the pocket, which ended up being in his tackle box, of all places, perhaps hoping that there, someday, if he put it there, I would get into his tackle box and find that pocket watch, bringing back memories of him. And if you were to go into our kitchen, you would find on the wall there that old oak hand ringer telephone that hung on the dining room wall of our farm. And every time we heard it ring, a long and three shorts, we knew it was our ring on the party line of seven farm folks. And sometimes when we heard four shorts and wanted to hear what was doing with the neighbors, you know, we would put our hand on the mouthpiece and take the earpiece and gain the latest gossip in the community. Once upon a time, Mom, most every phone, I am told, here in Petersburg, every home here in Petersburg had one of those same kind of phones. But when Petersburg updated its telephone system with newfangled dial kind, one of our members said, I might as well say who it was Wally Johnson. I mean, Wally, what's your name, Wally? Everybody knows Wally. Wally told me that they loaded up all those oak telephones in a pickup. And where'd you take them, Wally? Can you hear me? You hear me? Wally told me they hauled him to the dump. Yep, Mom. If you could take a stroll with me through our home, you'd get the feeling that you've not been forgotten. Foremost, everywhere I look, thoughts of you arise. In some ways, every day in our home is or could be a Mother's Day. My wife and I love those things. But that's really all they are, things. Today we have another word for that. We call it what? Stuff, right? Stuff. As much as we enjoy having stuff, and as much as all of this stuff holds precious memories, there's one piece of stuff that I cherish more than all the other stuff combined. If you could come into our home, hanging just inside our door, you'd find a simple ceramic plaque. You know the one that used to hang in what on the farm we call the front room, or then was really the other name for the front room was the living, parlor, somebody said? Parlor. On the farm, we called it the living room. What do they call those rooms now? Den. What? Den. Family room, huh? Great room. Words evolve. Our world keeps changing. You maybe think, Mom, I'm writing this manuscript on a typewriter. There are no typewriters around anymore. Nope, it's on a thing called a computer, which didn't even exist when you passed away. Oh, how our world has changed since you left us 48 years ago. Anyway, back to the ceramic plaque, okay? In the front room, remember the picture of Jesus the Good Shepherd that hung behind the oil burner? Unforgettable, that picture of Jesus. Remember that? I wish I had that picture to hang in our home. Don't know what happened to it. Asked both my sisters. They didn't know either. And on the piano, where you sat beside me, hoping that I would learn to play the piano like my two older sisters, but which never happened. On that piano was one of your favorite things. The Mother Mary holding the Christ child. The Madonna. Which for us Lutherans was a little Catholic. In some ways seemed unfitting that it should be on our piano. But it was still okay, especially because the Nepple family that lived across the road from us on the farm were full-blooded, genuine Catholics. And they loved it when they came into our front room and saw the Madonna. Maybe they were the ones who sneaked it into our house. But probably not. Where it came from, only you know, Mom. I once saw it after you passed away in my sister's home down in Illinois. But I don't know what happened to it after that. I only hope that one of my sisters has it. One of their kids have it. And that they understand how meaningful that was to their grandma. And then my favorite, the one piece that I cherish more than all the other stuff that we have from the farm. What? That ceramic what? Plaque that hung in the front room for everyone to see, for everyone to read, where all the fine furniture my mom had, the stuff with cushions, where the women of the farm bureau would meet while the men were out in the dining room around the table talking about whether it was going to rain tomorrow or not and how many bushels of acre the corn was going to yield this year. Mom, you and Dad were church people. It's what you did. It's what you lived. It's what you were. You lived in a special place at a special time. That's what you and all your neighbors did. That's how the farm folk who lived in the mid-1900s in our part of Iowa lived. They were all church people. Church is what you did, filling the walls of your homes with stuff that defined who you were and whose you were. That ceramic plaque, maybe received as a Mother's Day gift or a birthday gift. Or maybe a Christmas gift from the genuine Roman Catholics who lived across the road. Only you know its origin. But wherever it came from, and whenever it came, I can never remember it not being there. It defined who you were. It defined whose you were. And Mom, it was your way of saying to me every day what every Christian mother wants her child to be. I don't remember my mother verbalizing much on how to live, What I remember mostly is that she showed me how to live. Her visible witness I saw every day. Her silent witness I read on that plaque. The perfect blend of what a Christian mother should be. That ceramic plaque said this: "In all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." Proverbs 3:6. This is my sermon for today. Say it with me. It's short. You can memorize it today if you don't already know it. And you can take it home with you. Say it with me in pieces. In all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct. Putting it all together, Proverbs what? 3:6. In all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Oh, yeah. I just about forgot. Happy Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day, Mom. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for our mothers. Thank you for the privilege of being a mother. Not everyone has that privilege. We're so thankful for Glow and her new role in Sigrid's life as mother. We thank you for the gift of life that you bestowed upon each one of us through our moms. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let us stand and let us continue to sing. But I think I want to change the thing about singing 3 and 4. I want to sing the whole thing through the way it's supposed to be sung. All four. Let's stand. Let's raise the roof. Right.
Confess our